May God's word only be spoken and God's word only be heard. Amen. I understand it's the tradition on Second Sundays for children to be invited forward. So if there are children in the house who would like to come forward, I would be delighted to have company. There are, and I love that I don't have to ask twice. Good morning. So in our gospel reading this morning, Jesus describes what life with God is like. And as he often does when he's trying to describe what life with God is like, he tells a couple of stories. We call them parables. And these are two very short little ones. In the first one, he just says, well, life with God is like when someone throws some seeds out on the ground, then goes to bed and gets up and goes to bed and gets up, and pretty soon there are plants there. That's the first story, very short. And the second one, he says, well, life with God is like a mustard seed, and when you plant it, you get this big shrub. Now, the trouble with Jesus' stories every once in a while is that he's making some comparison, but we're not necessarily that familiar with the thing that he's talking about, right? So I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever seen a mustard shrub. Has anyone ever seen a mustard shrub? One or two people have seen mustard shrubs, okay? Most of us have not. I've seen the seeds. You can buy those, right, on the spice rack, and those tiny little mustard seeds. So I know how small the mustard seed is, but I've never seen the shrub, so I don't quite have the full picture. So I think we could imagine maybe a more familiar image would be to say life with God is like an acorn, right, which starts out small. You've seen acorns probably, right? And then becomes like a great big oak tree, because you've seen oak trees. That would be another possible way. But I would like to think that another way to think about it that's even more familiar is to say that life with God is like a bag of microwave popcorn. Which, when exposed to the zapping spirit of God, becomes 10 times the size. Right? All right. People at the early service were wondering why it smelled like popcorn in here. Which, when zapped with the power of God, becomes 10 times the size and really quite pleasant and nourishing and enjoyable. Right? That's what life with God might be like. And that's a little more familiar image for me, at least, than the mustard seed shrub. So, I want to tell you two short stories that could also be parables, but these are both true things that have happened that I have known about or heard about. One of them is something that happened at the church in Cleveland where I used to be, where I was for 10 years. And there are some visitors from Cleveland, so they can tell me later if I get the story right. Okay. About 20 years ago, one of the ministers who worked at that church went out about his business, and when he came back in the afternoon, he found that all the doors were locked to the church. He tried a door, it was locked, and he went around and tried another door, it was locked. It was about 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So he managed to find his key, and he got in, and he said to the staff that was inside, "Why is the church all locked up?" And the answer was, well, there are these kids from the nearby middle school, and they're passing through, on the way from the school to the neighborhood where they lived, went right through the church, so they would walk through the parking lot or the yard, and some of them started walking through the church. And so one of the staff members thought she ought to lock the doors so that those darn kids didn't come into the church, because who knew what they might do. So she was locking the church between 3 and 5 o'clock. Does that seem like a good idea to you? Yes? No? Not really, maybe, right, for a church to be open and welcoming, we might imagine that it would be better if the doors were open, right? So this young minister, his name was Ralph, and some other people at the church said, well, what if we ask the kids why they're cutting through the church and what they might need? So they found out that a lot of these kids had moms or dads who were working, and when they got home, there wouldn't be anybody at home. So they were kind of lingering on their way home and taking their time because there was nothing to rush to when they got there. And so people at the church decided that they would start a little after-school homework help. So they had a room where these kids could come, and they would help them with their homework. And then after they'd been doing that for a year or two, people said, well, you know, maybe we could also teach them other things besides helping them with their homework. So someone said, well, I'm an artist and I would love to give them art lessons. And someone else said, I can teach them to knit. And someone else said, well, I could teach them to play chess. So they started this after school afternoon program and the doors were open. Why do you imagine you might call a program that had open doors instead of locked doors? Open doors, exactly right. That's what it was called. So the Open Doors program is now over 20 years old, and it grew to include also lessons for the kids about things about your character, like how to get along in the world, and how to be honest and faithful in your relationships with other people, and all kinds of skills and character building things. And so it went from maybe 12 kids to 25 kids to 40 or 50 kids. And then it was too many for St. Paul, so they started another site at another church. And now there are 10 Open Doors programs all around the east side of Cleveland, and most of them are in public schools, who so admired the program that they started their own Open Doors in the school after school hours. So, only about 54% of kids in that on the east side of Cleveland who start high school actually finish high school, but all the kids in Open Doors finish high school, and only about 25% of those kids from that high school go to college, but about 90% of the Open Doors kids go to college. So do you think it worked to open the doors? Yeah. It was a little idea to start with, right? It was just a little, well, what if we open the doors and help them with their homework? And then it got bigger and bigger, right? Here's another story. Around the other side of the world, in a country called Pakistan, there was a little girl named Malala. Some of you might have heard the story of Malala. Malala was growing up with her mom and dad and her two little brothers and two pet chickens. And Malala's dad was a poet, and he was a teacher, and she was a bright little girl, and she really liked going to school, and she liked studying. And when Malala was about 11 years old, there was a group in her country, in Pakistan, that was trying to take control of the region where she lived. And they had a lot of very strict rules, like no television at all. What do you think? Good rule? Parents? Another rule they had was no music. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? And then another rule they had was that girls were not allowed to go to school. What do you think? Yeah. Really bad idea. So Malala, as I said, loved school and she loved going, and she started writing a blog. Someone actually from the BBC, which is it's like a news people in England, and they asked Malala, they found her, and asked her if she would write a blog about what it was like to be a girl in school in Pakistan. So she did. She did that. She started writing a blog. And things got better for a little while, and then they got worse, and then this group called the Taliban, they actually destroyed a lot of the schools that taught girls and closed down others. And eventually some of them reopened. And someone from the New York Times newspaper made a documentary about Malala. So then lots of people knew who she was. When she was writing the blog, she was anonymous. But once they made the documentary, they knew that this was the girl who was writing all about how much she loved to learn and how important it was that every boy and every girl have a chance to go to school and to learn. So this group, the Taliban, were not happy about that. So there's a scary part of this story, and then it gets better, okay? So the bad thing that happened was that one day when Malala was about 15 years old, a man from this group, the Taliban, tried to kill her. He shot at her and injured her in the face because they were trying to stop her, because she just kept talking about how important it was that she and all of her friends should be able to go to school. So she was very badly injured, but the doctors in her country, in Pakistan, and doctors in England were able to save her and to make her well again. And she continued to speak, and once people had learned about Malala, they helped to support her, and they had continued to speak. And has anybody ever heard of the Nobel Prize, Nobel Peace Prize? Yeah, lots of nods. Good for you. So that's when someone does something very especially helpful for peace around the world, they get this really great prize, right? They're named as a very important and special person. So Malala was the youngest person ever to be named for the Nobel Peace Prize, and she was only 15, 16 years old when she was named, I think. It was last year. She's 17 now. So now there's a whole foundation and a whole organization around the world and in her country that are working to help make sure that all the boys and girls have the right and ability to go and get a good education in school. So Malala is just one person, right? She's quite bright and sort of extraordinary, but on the other hand, she's just a little girl, right, who was willing to speak up when she thought something was important. And now she has made an amazing difference all around the world for kids to learn because of people who are supporting her. So Malala's story and the Open Doors story are two stories about ways that life with God can start out small and then get bigger and bigger when God blesses the thing that we're doing. And sometimes that can happen in our own life as an individual, but often it happens in our lives as a community. Whoever popped one kernel of corn, right? Yeah? Right. Never ask a rhetorical question. Very rarely do we pop one kernel of corn. Mostly we pop more so that we can share it and enjoy it together. And in God's life, sometimes God works this way with us, starting with something small and bigger. And very often, God works this way with us, with a group of us. So, what about this church? I'm told that this church started when? 1891. Did you know that there were only 25 people when it first gathered? Which is barely more than just those of you sitting on the floor. And now the place is packed, right? And there are 1,000 members, I hear, of St. Mary's Church. And through the years, the building even has kind of grown like this popcorn, right? Because of God's power zapping around St. Mary's and expanding. And through the years, people just like you and just like you have had ideas about what life with God might look like at St. Mary's Church. And some of those ideas have started small and gotten big. And maybe sometimes some of them didn't pop. And that's okay too, right? That's how we make the whole pot. It gets there because sometimes some don't pop, but most of them do. So, for instance, I understand that you have some meals where you feed people who are hungry a couple times a week. Someone had that idea years ago, and then other people said, that's a really good idea. Life with God is like when people feed each other when they need it. Or last summer, when I first came back to Massachusetts after being away for about 24 years, and I came back, and I was going to be the new bishop, hadn't even started my job yet, but your priest, right, Libby, is so good. She got on the phone when I'd only been here about 2 weeks and wasn't even the bishop yet and said, come on down to the Cape because we're doing this amazing thing, a camp for kids whose moms or dads are in prison and they need some extra help, these kids. And so we've started a camp called Amazing Grace. Did you hear about that?
Right.
So someone had that idea. And now that idea is growing. We had 20, what did you have last year, 20? 13 last year, 30 this year, right? So God's giving the growth. So what I want to say to you is, Jesus tells us that life with God often is about starting small, but ending up growing in all different kinds of ways when God's Spirit helps us to do that. So you are never too young to have a good idea about how life with God might look in this church or in your family or out in your community. You're never too young and you're never too old to have such an idea. And if the idea is something that God is going to bless, then it's going to take hold. And it's going to pop. It's going to pop. Because God's Spirit comes to us in these ways that we often don't expect. Malala probably never imagined that she might get a Peace Prize and help change the world, but that's just what's happened. So I want you to always trust your heart when you have an idea. Share it with your folks, share it with your teachers, share it with people at the church, and watch and wait and see how life with God can help us to grow inside and as a community. Thank you. Who's trustworthy? All of you, I know. So, this should not be open until coffee hour. And then you can open it and share it. All right? And share it. All right.